Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into football season around here. Big thanks to all of the sponsors who made the Maryland Crab Cake Tour successful, but the tour is not over. It's just beginning. We'll be starting things in my side of town, Hollandtown, up on a hill. We're going to Foster and Highland Avenue, the top of the Chaucer. I'm trying to think of how I would have pronounced Chaucer. That's the Chaucer off Eastern Avenue by Jaeger's and up there by Hausner's. We're having Heidi Daniel from the Enoch Pratt Free Library join us, as well as Councilman Zeke Cohen. I'm hoping to get some sponsors out. I've sort of dropped this Maryland Crab Cake Tour on all my sponsors, including my dear friend Bill Cole from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, who joins us now. You know, dude, back in the old days, you and I wouldn't be here right now. We'd be at the airport having Bloody Marys, probably sampling the O'Bricky's crab cake, which I've never had, by the way. Black pepper. So I all of a sudden I am interested in it as I wear my Costa shirt. But we're not, and you're not going to Vegas, and I'm going to Vegas, but I'm going on Sunday instead of like Thursday or Friday, and I'm not throwing parties. And I never thought I'd be going to Las Vegas for like an actual NFL game. But here we are, and it's happening, and I'm sneaking in and out of town like it's a business trip because I find it to be a little – I don't really want to wear a mask through Caesars to get a slice of pizza. I don't really want to wear a mask playing 21 or be weirded out. I want to take cards. I want to hold them. I want to feel things. I want to it's football.
It is really weird, no doubt. I can remember in the heat of the pandemic – once we, I don't know when it was established that we were going to play in Vegas, but like, oh, we were definitely going. Like, this thing will be gone by then.
We were going for a week, a month.
Yeah, right. I hate Las Vegas, but in the middle of the pandemic, the only place I wanted to be was Las Vegas.
We were going to drive, and it was going to be a good time. We were going to stop in Oklahoma and like it, right? I mean, yeah, and now all of a sudden, it's like nobody's going, right? Like, I've had three people hit me and say, where's the party? And I'm like, well, I could get a minivan, and we could have a party there if you'd like to. So
yeah, we had a chance to go out to Vegas in the – I think it was like the second week of August for a roofing convention, like a middle season. Like, it was supposed to be in February. It got pushed to August. They're going to have another one in February.
You ever been to Vegas in August? I have.
Nah, probably not. Like,
115. Usually. It's going to be 106 when I land on Sunday. So yes,
right. We were all geared up to go. There's a lot of chaos in the roofing supply world, so there was good reasons to go. The Friday before we were supposed to leave, which was like a Monday, they went 24/7 mask. And I'm like, no way. No way. I'm not, I can't do it.
Well, it's just 120 degrees. I'm not anti-mask. I'm pro-mask.
No, it's not.
I'm just anti-spending a lot of money to have a really diminished experience
right
with Las Vegas. And,
right.
And like, I love Las Vegas. I almost lived there at one point, you know?
This is not a statement about the concept of wearing masks. It's the decision as a human as to whether I want to participate in something that requires one. And whether
I want to sit in the Royal Farms Arena with Guns N' Roses and think about, do I mind having a mask? No. I wore a mask last week at the Eagles concert. I wore a mask at the Bruno Mars concert. I did not wear a mask at Alanis Morissette because it was outside. But do I want to be in the arena with that crowd? Probably most people just effing the mask just to F right. Brandon Scott or the city or whatever it is, because they're there with Axel. And like, I don't know that I want to walk into the Rofo Arena that night in the crowd thinking people are not going to be wearing it. If everybody was wearing the mask, which at Bruno Mars and at the Eagles, most people, the Eagles were wearing their mask, only drunk idiots. And there were plenty of those too, weren't wearing their mask. But I, you know, both of those concerts were 80 to 90% of the people had masks on because they felt safer and they wanted everybody else to feel safer. And when they sang out loud, I didn't have to hear them sing their songs.
If you do an assessment and you going to see Bruno Mars or the Eagles or whoever is worth masking up and going into that environment, hey, more power to you. Enjoy yourself. I did the assessment on flying 5 hours across the country to go to Las Vegas, where I'm certainly not going to stand outside, to your point, because I'm going to melt. So that means I'm indoors the whole time with a mask on with all these other people who have masks on in a heightened, like, just the fact that we'd all be standing around wearing masks makes your brain remember that there's risk engaged in what we're doing. So it affects people's moods. And it's just, I really worry about the long-term viability of conventions, because it's just such a, it's such a risk profile that we all previously accepted.
Yeah, but Bill, the one thing that I, and I'm coming to your event this week, and we're on the front end of Accelerant. This is something that I just want to interject over the month, because I went to a convention last month in Ocean City. I've been all over the state. I've been in a lot more places this month where people voted for Trump heavily than believe in science, right? So just along that line, and I know, you know, over 5 years of this Trump bullshit, it's unbelievable that when I go in to meet someone with a mask in whatever environment, and I leave with my elbow, how offended the Trump voter is by that. You know what I mean? Like, when I lean in and say, oh, you're one of those. Like, I've had that happen hundreds of times in the last 60 days of getting out. Since July 4th, you know, I went to Meriwether. I've been getting out. I went everywhere every day for a month. But it's unbelievable, the shaming involved. And I'm almost about to drop an F-bomb on the radio. I'm like, my effing wife had leukemia twice. I wore a mask. F you. You know what I mean? Well, nice to meet you. How are you? F you.
Because
it really is. There is a shaming involved from some people who have denied science, who are, let's shake hands, we'll get Purell. I'm meeting too many people to shake your hand right now. And people, can I hug you? You're not one of them, are you? Yes, I am one of them. I am one of them. You should be one of them too. It's play. That's how I feel.
I don't have any problem shaking people's hands, right? There's hand sanitizer, and I don't shut.
But I would hope you wouldn't shame
nose.
Me for not wanting to shame to shake yours, because maybe I coughed this morning.
Maybe
I'm protecting you.
I shamed you 10 years ago or whenever. Forgive me for not remembering the exact date, but it was my complete lack of understanding that you were not going to shake my hand because of what your wife was going through. And me just not even being aware of that concept.
I became a fist bumper.
Me leaning into you and you being like, man, I don't think so, brother. And me be like, what do you mean? And then you explain to me. And at that point, I become part of the enlightened group. That, like, and this has nothing to do with COVID, right? This is just a situation, and
it's good hygiene. Germs, I want to stay healthy. I want you to stay healthy, and I love hugging, and I love all. I mean, I'm Latin. You know what I mean? I miss hugging, but I also see it as when people would get up on my wife, and my wife was compromised, I'd lose my effing mind. And she didn't like it. People around me didn't like it. I'm like, I'm trying to keep her alive, you know, like that's just where this is. And I feel like we've lost sight of that in this, Bill. We really have. Like, I can't get over how many people would say something that would be shaming of me because I don't want to hug them or I don't want to shake their hand. And it's not that I don't want to be personal. I'm offering an elbow. I'm offering a fist bump, whatever. But I don't need to shake 200 people's hands at your Accelerant event. That's just dumb, you know, for me.
What is the risk profile right now that makes you still in that position? Like, if everybody had a red stamp that said, I'm vaccinated, would you then be likely to shake hands?
I think the problem now is the double vaccinated people are getting sick, and kids are getting sick, and kids are back in school, and people are circulating. And to your point, I'm getting on a plane with a mask to fly to Las Vegas into a whole different environment. 70,000 people are coming from 70,000 different places into that environment. They're all vaccinated. Who knows what they picked up on the plane, what their kid brought home from school on that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as these activations happen. I pay attention to Lena Wen when she's on my program. So I just think it's best that I not circulate very much in Las Vegas. I don't think it's in my best interest. I don't think it's in my wife's best interest. I don't think it's in the best interest of Johnny O, who's getting together with me next Friday at Costas for their 50th anniversary. And I'm getting together at the Chaucer on Friday. So I just feel like the less of you I take with me to the next person in general, whoever you are, the less of that we can take to each other and still get peach cake, have a good time, enjoy an outdoor show, enjoy cold beer at a reasonable price, you know, do the things we love to do, and then say about things like gambling at a table in Las Vegas and rolling around and touching people and things and trying to chase girls or beer or tequila or shows or whatever in Las Vegas for me this weekend, no bueno. And I've been in 24 counties in this state in the last 35 days, right? But I'm not feeling the vibe that I need to be circulating in Las Vegas.
Part of my concern is this concept of our world still continues to sort of lack leadership in terms of what is the risk discussion that we should be having now. My concern for what you're saying to me is, in the current state of affairs, you still default to we shouldn't be hugging and handshaking, right? Which I can appreciate that. No shaming here. My question is, how does that profile have to shift in the future where you're now prepared to give me a hug again?
Where we have 13 states that have ICU beds and we really have the plague is not under control, bro. We're open. We're going to Vegas. We're checking vax cards. Alanis is shaking her ass. Paul Stanley catches COVID. He's down. Cedric Ceballos is on a friggin' ventilator out in Phoenix, right? So like Rich Eisen, I had Peter King on the show this week. Rich Eisen was down for the count a couple weeks ago. Two vaxes, caught it, got sick. I think I had it 2 years ago. I've seen Lamar Jackson get it twice now. I feel like I am susceptible to maybe not getting sick in ICU'd. I'm susceptible, having been around people, of bringing it to you. I love you and I care about you. I'm not hugging you to be punitive or thinking you're getting me sick. I'm thinking I'm out circulating. You don't want to hug me. You don't want to hug me. You know, like, don't be foolish. I've been smart, but I'm smart at every step. I went into Wise Markets three times, Wise Avenue, Halliburton, back to Wise the other day as I got crabs from Al's and Costas to make crab soup with my wife. And, you know, we have Purell in the car. The minute I walk in, I'm Purelling. I wear a mask in the store because it takes 8 minutes to go through the Wise and get some watermelon and pick up some crab meat and get out. And then you get back in the car, you roll the windows down and things are good. You stop at Icy Delights to get a snowball. It's outside. I Purell. I feel good. You know, I go to Costas. I picked up crabs. I elbow bumped. I stayed in the bar. I chatted with 8 different people with a mask on who all yelled my name, even though my hair, they all wanted to say hello. Eastwood people, the Andresiacs, people I knew. But like I said to them, you don't want to hug me. I've been around people every day. I'm the guy you don't want to hug. So if that's the lesson, I don't know. I'm not trying to be magnanimous about it. I'm trying to be smart. I could be the carrier.
I get it. I appreciate the perspective. What I'm trying to unpack is how I'm fairly convinced that COVID's never going to go away.
Okay. Right?
Like, it's just a thing. The consequences will go down. The amount of people that get it will go down. But it'll be a thing.
The veracity of the virus will, by every scientific experiment, will become more like a viper.
No.
Yes. My reading on this is mutations become more vicious.
No, that's not. The science says they become more transmissible, less lethal.
Because
they want to prolong themselves, right? So easier to catch, less killing, which I'm okay with that, right?
Like, less killing if you're vaccinated. If you don't have a vaccine, you wind up in ICU.
I don't think that's the case. I don't. The goal of I'm not a scientist, right? We should put that little precursor.
Well, neither one bottom. Of us are.
Right. The goal
of our role model.
The goal of the virus is to prolong its life, right? Like it wants to keep going.
That's why you think the virus will be here forever. That makes sense.
I think the virus will be here forever because we're never going to get everyone to get vaccinated. We're never going to get everyone to stop sharing or licking doorknobs or sneezing on one another or whatever. So we as humans refuse to do what it takes to eliminate viruses.
Dude, on the hug, elbow, handshake thing, I'm going to feel very connected with every person I fist bump or elbow or whatever, and I can carry on. I don't like conversations with masks. I don't like not seeing expression. I read expression. That's one of the reasons I like Zoom better than I like radio, quite frankly. Sure. Radio is more theater of the mind. I feel more connected to everyone, all of my guests that I have on Zoom, including my friend JT the Brick from Vegas the other day, and Julio Bermejo came on from the Bay Area, and Peter King came on from Boston and some train station. I mean, I have this connectivity to see people now, and I'm addicted to that. And I think I've enjoyed doing radio more on Zoom than being out with masks on in Costas interacting with people, because I don't like interacting with people with masks. I'd rather just go home and call me on Zoom and we can look at each other, because I like it better that way.
Yeah, no, I get it. My concern is how we rebuild the risk decision profile, right?
Like, when I'm allowed to hug you again or when I'm going to feel comfortable.
And we just happen to land on the hugging and the shaking, but it's a larger topic, right? We are now making the decision that Bruno Mars under this criteria is acceptable, right? Like driving a car with a seatbelt.
I get you. The risk aversion is this time last year, I wouldn't have gone near an airplane to go to Las Vegas. Wouldn't have thought of it, right? I went to Houston for that crazy game and I ended that last year. It wasn't good. Now you're saying, well, you're going this time. You're accepting the risk. How risky do you want to be? Risky enough to wear a mask, get on a plane, stay away from people, see a football game, come home. Not risky enough to go not wear a mask, roll around like it's the Wild Wild West, hug people, go to booby bars, make it rain, touch doorknobs,
right.
do all of that. Touch cards, touch dealers. Like, no, I'm not. So because I'm not doing all of that, therefore, I'd rather be fishing. I'd rather be doing something else that would not include the normal Vegas experience for me.
No, my concern is if I think about how much thought you personally put into this decision, whether you're sitting there thinking about costs and benefits and, you know, like formally or informally, just the idea that you're thinking like, yeah, I think it's okay to do this. It's not okay to do that. My concern for us all is that I believe, like, in general, the majority of people aren't processing that. They're not working through it. And there seems to be a void of leadership again around helping the full mass of people go through this risk conversation. Like, well, my mom is 90 years old and I have to go take care of her every day. Your risk profile is different than someone else's.
And I think that every time I go somewhere and see somebody outdoor wearing a mask, like I've seen people driving in their car wearing a mask. And to
me, themselves, which is really weird.
And I look at that and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Like you're doing this.
I'm just saying, like, we need
that,
more coaching.
That doesn't really make sense, but okay.
Like what in our lifetime?
And these people that want to hug me think I'm not making any sense by not hugging them. Or they're like, I don't have the Verona. I don't have, I'm getting swabbed today, by the way. And for me, and this is a little different for me, and I don't know, when's the last time you took a Q-tip up the nose?
It's been a while.
Okay. It's been a while for me too. And in this whole, all the bullshit we've dealt with here for 18 months, it's only been done to me so few times that I still hate it. So I mean, I've only been swabbed six times in a year and a half. It's going to happen to me today because I want to go to the football game Monday. And as a media member to be around the team, this is my first swabbing. Luke has dealt with this. Luke has had all sorts of roller coaster rides waiting for tests to come back and like all of that the last month to be around the Ravens. Now it's my turn, right? So I will know I'm clean, right? My wife might go up with me and get tested just to get tested because it takes 10 minutes. It's close to my house, right? Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So it's not the pain in the ass it was when my wife and I wanted to go leave the country in the summer for our anniversary, where we had to like sort of find a 24-hour clinic and figure it out.
But it is silly, right? It is silly. Like 30 seconds after somebody shoves a Q-tip up your nose, you go walk into Royal Farms and, you know, somebody breathes all over you. And I mean, like, and your test got done. Like it is kind of silly from that concept. Like, unless you're going to step into a bubble the minute you get tested.
It is ridiculous that at 10 a.m. today, I'm going to be tested and they're going to put me in front of John Harbaugh on Monday night in Las Vegas after all I could do in Las Vegas. If I chose to do.
That's what I mean. It's silly.
Thank you. You know what? This is why I love you, Bill Cole, because like through all of this, you have just cut through all the manure, all the defecation, all the manipulation. And you've come right to the heart of the matter, which is, it really is kind of stupid when you think about that.
But
clean Wednesday. Can I come in on Monday? I don't know.
I think really what we're talking about is this risk discussion. So I certainly believe the people that came up with that policy are smart enough to acknowledge what you and I just said. And that's how ridiculous it is to test a Wednesday and then 5 days later, you know, be standing 2 feet away trying to talk to somebody. But they believe that the negative outcome of that isn't so bad that we should avoid it. Like, we know we haven't created a perfect scenario here. We know there's lots of chances for people to get the virus between Wednesday and Monday. But, it's going to screw with our season. But I really need Ness to be telling the people, because we really need them to come to the stadium. And like, if we don't get our act together, I'm not sure what this season's going to be. And we got lots of bills to pay and we got lots of players contracts. And so this is the discussion that goes on. And you've got all these smart people who are working through that discussion. My concern is that the larger group of humans, right? When in our lives have we ever been trained to make a fair risk assessment and decide what is best for us and not? We don't have a lot of training in that, right? Like, the risk assessment around a seatbelt was pretty simple, but people didn't wear them, right?
But the government made you wear it.
So the government decided, we cannot trust you to put it on.
How about these motorcycle maniacs with the helmets versus not helmets in certain states? And I live free or die because I ride a Harley. But then you want insurance. When you go into a ditch, you want them to save your brain, right? It's like these people not taking a shot until they go to the doctor. Then they want the doctor to save their life.
We have lots of these risk discussions. And I guess my concern is, we have such a fragmented profile of trust now. Like, who do you trust? Do you trust Uncle Joe? Do you trust Crazy Don? Like, who do you trust? And then how good is that person at helping you understand what's going on and to create your own personal decision around the risk? And like, this is what my wife and I talk about a lot, because look, stuff is chaotic, right? Like, you've got so many more variables now. Like, if you're exposed and you're vaccinated, if you're exposed and you're not vaccinated, if you're exposed and you want to get vaccinated and you can get a test, but you have to wait these days. There's so many. If you previously had COVID, if you think you had COVID, if you didn't have COVID, there's so many more variables in all of those decisions. And the world has built all these rules. Some of those rules don't even make any sense anymore. So, some of
like getting tested Wednesday to show up for a football game on Monday night, right?
If you're vaccinated, right, and you're exposed to someone, the CDC says you don't. Now, obviously, everyone who listens to this, double check my, because it changes every hour, or I could have totally be wrong. But the CDC says if you're vaccinated and you're exposed to someone, you don't have to do anything, right? They suggest you get a test 3 days later, but they do not tell you to quarantine upon finding out. And you and I both know, we could probably sit here right now and not name, but name a dozen people or more who were vaccinated who got COVID. So for it being 95% effective, I sure do know an awful lot of vaccinated people who got COVID. Now, I am a naturally skeptical person. I believe if you are in charge of this data set and the whole country is still trying to get people vaccinated, and you come out and say, well, it turns out that the vaccine isn't quite as effective as we thought it was, you are completely undermining all of our push to try and get everyone vaccinated, right? And what's the outcome of telling people that? Like, is more or less bad going to happen by being forthright with that information? I don't think there's a downside from holding that information, right? So if a year, 10 years from now, we find out that the vaccines were only like 40% effective, 40 was better than zero, so they all lied to us and pushed it out there. And, you know, it was a Delta variant. It really wasn't the original. So blah, 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 blah. I would believe any of that stuff, right? Like, who knows what is or not going on. The point is, you have to figure out what your risk tolerance is based on your situation. And I don't know that people are even taking the time to think it through. And we don't have the cliff notes. We're not like, where's the website that says, maybe that's what we should do, Ness. Maybe we should build a little Q&A website thing that says, like, is anyone in your family immunocompromised? Yes. Oh, you should stay home. You know, like, are you over the age of 70? Like, where's the question and answer thing that helps people make these assessments? And who's behind that giving them data that makes – all I'm saying is the people that I talk to, they are all spending a lot of time thinking through decisions. Do I do this? Do I do that? I'm comfortable with this. I'm comfortable.
Well, I felt like doing a month of a crab cake tour all over the state, I've taken on enough risk, literally, right, you know, sure. That I feel like, okay, you know, I'm on borrowed time here. You know, I have a business to run and things to do. And I want to do these Friday events and I want everybody to stay clean. And getting back to living again, Bill, like after the year and a half of not doing it, I'm not supersized about what I have to do. I have to go to every Ravens game, have to go to every concert. But I do feel like we're in a limited time. And I know we talked about this last week. I feel like there aren't going to be concerts in December, January, February, March, because I don't think there's going to be the confidence for the bands, the money, the touring, the indoor facility, all that's going to go into that in this country, especially in the South and in places where they're not vaccinated, that insurance as well. I mean, I have to sign a form for the NFL that if I get COVID at the football game Monday night, it's not their fault, literally. So all the legal parts of this that are going into this are going to shut industry in some cases down over this winter. And I'm a little concerned about that. So I am trying to squeeze as much out as I can, but I'm not trying to squeeze out I'm going to go inside in Vegas and pay $300 a night and 115 degree day. That's just bad decision-making, bad math, no fun.
I'd be shocked if we didn't have concerts in December. I think the only industry that I believe is at risk right now is like these industry conferences where it was all kind of an unspoken boondoggle anyway, right? Like, oh yeah, everybody's going to go to Vegas and we're going to do business. Yeah, sure, it was also about going to Vegas and doing all the other fun stuff that was with it. How much business did I really create there? And what was the value proposition? And if the value proposition doesn't have the fun part anymore, because everything you've been saying about wearing masks and going to Vegas, and it's just not as fun as it used to be, that's the part of, that's the industry that I worry about. Because, I mean, we've already, we were supposed to go to a solar conference in New Orleans, like next week.
All these places are fun, right? It's either Orlando, bring the family, New Orleans, drink, Vegas, do what you do in Vegas, Nashville, we're going to hang outside. And, you know, I remember last year in Nashville, there ain't no virus. Come on down. Come on down. You know, like that, that's always, there was always a bar willing to sell you the beer if you could just get the money up onto the counter, right? Like literally. So
I just
think that's been really detrimental through all of this too, that Ron DeSantis is, you know, a bought off political clown, but more than that, that there is political momentum to say we're open for business no matter what. Bring your virus, bring your sick, and bring your overwhelmed ICU.
It's one thing to say you're open for business. I forget the validity. I know where you sit on the validity of this concept, but I can't believe that it's actually constitutional to fine businesses for mandating masks. Like in Florida, the business can be fined for mandating that people wear masks. Is that like, are you aware of this concept? Did you read any of that?
The Texas governor said he's going to ban rape in the great country of Texas. There will be no more rapes because we will prosecute them.
All I'm saying is
they voted for this guy
in the world of
the orange guy said, only I can fix it.
Right.
And a minority voted for him, and we ran the country that way for 4 years. So, like, there's not much I won't believe that they would believe in Florida or Texas or some of these godforsaken places.
Yeah, but I mean, in the retail world where you can do no shirt, no shoes, no service concept,
right?
Or the right to serve, right? Like,
or I'm not going to bake you a cake because it's a gay wedding.
We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. Like these sort of laws that have been argued through the years.
Oh, look at your skin. Your water fountain's out there around the corner. That sort of law?
Any of that kind of stuff. We have litigated through them to sort of decide which ones are okay and which ones aren't okay, right? There's a health reason why you have to have a shirt on and shoes and whatever, right? I don't know how you can tell someone they can't tell their people they want you to wear a mask. I don't know how that's possible. Like if I am a immunocompromised person, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but you know what I mean, right?
Yes.
And I run a bakery and I want to do business, but I need my customers to wear masks because I don't want to get sick and not be able to bake my bread. I can't do that. I can't make that rule. Like you might choose to not come in and buy any of my bread because you don't feel like putting a mask on. That's fine.
By the way, I had an episode the other day. I went to get peach cake and a guy comes in, of all things, wearing an Oriole shirt, right? Mm-hmm. So five people allowed in the bakery at a time because of space. Eight bakers in the back, hair up, mask on, baking this delicious stuff. And this jack wagon walks in without a mask on, and we all look at him like there's 12 of us all, you're seeing our eyes, and there's a sign out in front, and there's been this thing called a plague for 18 months, and he walked in as though he'd never heard of a concept of a mask. Oh, gotta have a mask. Why? You afraid I got something? You know what I mean? It was just sort of like...
I will admit to, I could be that guy. I could go blasting in that door, look around and see all of you and like, oh, I guess I need a mask here. And I would walk back out and go get my mask. I wouldn't ask why.
He looked at us like, they're going to make an exception for me, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're all masked, so I'm the only one. So
then he walks out And he comes back in, storms back in. I hear him on the way out. Got to have a mask to get in there.
Right. Well, warning the other. Warning
all
the
people
patrons.
Who had masks.
Yes. Warning the patrons.
Who are waiting to get this delicate peach cake that it takes all of 2.5 minutes to go in and give them your $12 and get some donuts and get out and make nice with these beautiful ladies that were up at 4 a.m. baking this stuff for you. But you got to be a jackass, right? We've all lived it. We've all seen it, man.
Right. I'm not taking the bait. It's not my job to argue whether you should or shouldn't wear a mask, right? To me, a mask is a tool. There are reasons to use the tool. There's reasons that you don't need the tool. Like, that's not my job. My job as an American citizen is every now and then you see these things and they concern you. And I raise my hand. As a owner of a business, I think our country, I think we as people, even the Floridians, think you should have the right to decide whether people should have to wear masks or not. And the consequence for that is capitalism in its truest, purest sense. If you don't want to wear a mask, you're not going to buy my stuff. I then have to decide, do I really want to do the mask or not? And that is how these things sort themselves out, right? In our country, this is how we have resolved disputes. That's a very purely capitalistic approach, right, to some of these concepts. I just don't understand how at the, not the first sign, 18 months into a new situation, right, that has thrown us all for this loop, we continue to throw things out the window that we have worked on for 200 plus years to be part of our fabric.
We've tried to get the kids off the farm to go to school to learn science to make the world better, and we have this vaccine and we have this possibility. Billy, where are you watching the game Monday night? You got a plan? You're doing a thing or no?
My guess is probably the first half from my couch, and then maybe if it's worth watching the second half, the Tuesday night when I get home from work, because I'll probably fall asleep. I doubt I'll try, you know. But brother, I'm old, man. We had our 23rd year in a row fantasy football draft last night, and the only takeaway I had was that I'm old because I have no idea who any of the players are. I can't find anybody other than Tom Brady. I can't find
anybody. I hope you didn't draft J.K. Dobbins.
I did not. But I did, because it's 23 years long and it's a legacy keeper league, I did drop Travis Etienne way late just because I can keep him next year. But he's out on foot surgery or something. So, no, I had the third pick and went Russell Wilson. But you got to understand it's a keeper league, so there's lots of people who aren't available, and it's very crazy. But
Bill, next week when I get back from Vegas, hopefully we get together on Wednesday morning, and I will discuss my fandom all these years in and my PSLs and my season tickets and my press pass and like all of that. It's fascinating how people consume football. Sure. Like whatever that consumption is, whether it's Red Zone on your phone in the way that you want, your fantasy team, the team you bet on, all of the betting, bet. I'm going to be in bet Vegas all weekend. So I am still a guy, and I'm hanging on to this, that loves Baltimore, that loves the team because it was Baltimore's team, because it was purple, because it represented our city. I think we're getting really far away from that now. You know what I mean? Like, and it's getting weirder and weirder in that way that most people don't love the Ravens because they love Baltimore. They love the Ravens because they love the color purple, or they bet on them, or it's their tribe or their nation or their flock or their whatever. It was just, I got into this under different circumstances. I often wonder what's going to save the Orioles, because the Orioles were built on They're my family. They're my neighborhood. It says Baltimore. Right. They're my team. They're ours. They're us. And that's just freaking gone, you know, like, and it won't be rebuilt that way. They apparently think it's going to be rebuilt with gambling. Right. And I think the gambling part of the NFL, and the more I've talked about it this week and going to Vegas, the gambling part, when you say fantasies, the only reason you know who Travis Etienne is, right? Literally.
Well, no, I know who he is because I'm a college football fan and I enjoyed watching him. What I can tell you is that as an old guy drafting fantasy football, the only thing that still is reliable is you take the Ravens defense like two rounds too early from when everyone else is picking
defense. And the kicker.
Just because, I missed on that one. But I did homer it up. I mean, I got Sammy Watkins probably too early. I tried to get Gus, couldn't get the Gus, you know.
The Bills got Sammy Watkins too early too, so. Yeah, right. Well, I get some comedy in here. Bill Cole, he is a Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He puts solar on places and fixes roofs and will be eating crab cakes with me at some point on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I know you have to go. I appreciate you. Next week, we'll talk gambling and fantasy, and maybe Sammy Watkins catches two on Monday. I'll be texting you, waking you up in the fourth quarter if Sammy Watkins catches the game winner. All right.
Well, he's going to sit on my bench, so it doesn't matter. Then I'll just be pissed.
How dare you bet against the Ravens passing game?
I'm not betting against him. You know? I've got three better receivers ahead of him. He's my fourth one.
You're like Greg Roman. Lamar, just run the ball. We don't need you to throw it, right?
Right.
We are WNST AM 1570. Luke is out in Owings Mills. I'm doing crab cakes this week at the Chaucer in Highlandtown. Next week will be Acostas. Friday. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is Friday and Friday afternoons from 2 until 5. And, you know, hopefully getting out, I will elbow bump you if you come by. Please don't be offended. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.